This Shabbos is familiar to us because we read it, the parasha here, part of it, at a different time of the year as well. And what's interesting is that the other time of the year that we read this is an extremely joyous time, and that is the Shabbos after Purim. The Shabbos after Purim, we read Parashas Parah. When we are in the Purim spirit, especially as we know that a Yom Tov lasts until after the Shabbos afterwards, so it's the week of Purim, and we have experienced a joy like no other time during the year. There's no other time during the year that a Jew is as happy as during the Yom Tov of Purim, where we reach the Madreig of Adol Yada, higher than any level. As we mentioned, Purim time, Purim comes from the highest source, and it's so great that even after Mashiach comes, it's going to be noticeable, and some say it's even higher than Yemos HaMashiach, it's Olam Haba. And that's when we read Parshas Parah. And now, this Shabbos Chukas, which is usually the first or second Shabbos in the month of Tammuz, we read about the Parah Aduma. Here's where it really is. And the question is, here we're reading it in Chodesh Tammuz. Tammuz is a sad month, a tragic month, a month that we are not in the same mood, at least not now, not yet, as we are in the week of Purim. And yet we know what the Svarim tell us, that the Kriya is Ma'ira the Zman, that whenever you read a topic of Parsha that is read at a different time, it's as if that other time is here. The Torah is Lamailam and Azman, and the Torah has the power to connect different time zones, even Avar Hoiva and Osid. And the fact that Parshas Parah is read in Adar, and we read it now here in Tammuz, there must be a connection. What is that connection? Tammuz, as we mentioned, the combination of Hashem's name for the month of Tammuz is in Megillas Esther, talking about Purim, which is also strange and requires an explanation. The Arizal taught that every month has a specific combination. Nisan is Yismuchu Hashemayim V'Sogei La'aretz, a pasuk in Tehillim, and certainly the phrase Yismuchu Hashemayim V'Sogei La'aretz is very appropriate for the month of Nisan. Every month has its specific phrase. Iyar is Yishalal HaMishalal Haskel V'Yodaya, a pasuk in Yirmiyahu, which we mentioned, I believe, a few weeks ago. Sivan has its own specific combination in Parshas Truma, Yadoysav L'Tzela HaMishkan HaShenis. Tammuz is the only combination of Hashem's name that the Arizal taught is derived from the last four letters of four words in Megillas Esther. V'zeh Einenu Shoyveli. Zeh Einenu Shoyveli, which is Yud Kei Vav Kei backwards, as the Arizal taught, B'nai Soscha discusses this, B'mayim Chayim, other Sfarim, but any time a combination of Hashem's name is backwards, it means that the month is the month of Midas Hadin, unlike, let's say, Nisan, where it's straight, Yismachu Hashemayim V'Sogei La'aretz. Sometimes you have it's partly straight, partially backwards, so that means half of it is Midas HaChesed, half of it is Midas Hadin. Tammuz is the month of Midas Hadin. In Shulchan Aruch, it's brought down that starting Shivasa B'Tammuz, a person shouldn't walk out alone between the hours of 9 and 4, because it's the time when there is a shed, a demon called Ketev Meriri, that rules during that time. This is brought out in Shulchan Aruch, not in Kabbalah's form. As we read in Tehillim, Miketev Yashut Soharoyim, in Mizmor Tzadik Aleph, Midever Ba'ifel Yahaloich, Miketev Yashut Soharoyim, Ketev Kuftes Beis, that is what rules in the 3 weeks, in the 9 days, in the month of Tammuz and Av. Ketev, Rashi says, means to cut, to destroy. This is a shed, a dangerous shed, as it's brought out in Medrash Tehillim, that looks like an eagle, which seems to, you can understand perhaps why it rules in Tammuz. Tammuz is the month in which the Chet HaEgel takes place. So this is a very sad and difficult month, the month of Midas Hadin. What then is the combination of Hashem's name for the month of Tammuz doing in the Megillah that we read in the most joyous time on Purim? Just as we have the same question that we're reading now, Parshas Parah Aduma, which is read in Chodesh Adar, the Shabbos after Purim. It's a continuation of Purim. And now we're reading it here in the month of Tammuz. Now, it would seem from the Psukim, from the Midrashim, from what Rashi tells us here, that Parah Aduma is rectification, it's atonement, it's a mitzvah that is necessary only because of something negative. If not for the Chet HaEgel, and if there would be no death in the world, then l'cha'ira, there would have been no need for the Parah Aduma. The Parah Aduma is here to be metahir from Tumas Meis. And as Rashi says, when he brings down the Ramosha Hadarshan, it's also here to be machaper on the Chet Ha'egel, Tovei Ho'ei Musakaneach Tzayas Benoah. Rashi brings the Moshel, a Ben Shivcha, that soiled the room, and everyone tells the mother, let's go, you got to clean up what your child did. And the Egel is the child, the Para is the mother. So what the Egel caused, the stain that the Egel brought to the world, the Zuhama, the impurity, the contamination, the Para Aduma purifies from. Meaning that it would seem here that if not for the Chet HaEgel, there would have been no need for the Para Aduma. If not for the Chet HaEgel, we wouldn't die. As the Gemara says, Ani Omarati Elohim Atem, when we stood by Har Sinai, Paska Zuhamasam, the Zuhamas HaNochash, the Chet HaTzadas was forgiven and was rectified. We were cleansed to some degree from the Chet HaTzadas. And if not for the Chet HaEgel, we would have entered into that world of Chaim Nitzchim, of eternal life, and there would have been no death. Like the way Adam was supposed to live before the Chet HaTzadas, and so there would be no need for the Para Aduma. So is the Para Aduma just a mitzvah that came about because of negativity as a result of Chet HaEgel, and since there's death in the world, we have to come on to the Para Aduma. Otherwise, we wouldn't need it. And that's not the case. First of all, Para Aduma is one of the Tayag mitzvahs. So being that it's one of the Tayag mitzvahs, it's rooted in Torah, it's a mitzvah and that would have been given whether it was Chet HaEgel or not. And the biggest proof is we take a look in Parshas B'Shalach and Rashi and Chazal, we find that the Para Aduma was already given before. There the Torah tells us, when the Jews came to the city called Morah, where the water was bitter, and Hashem made a nes, and the water was sweetened. Vayim tuku hamoyim, says the Pasuk, Sham sam laichayku mishpat v'sham nisahu. That there in Morah, there were mitzvahs that were given. One mitzvah is in the category of a chayk, one mitzvah is in the category of a mishpat. And Chazal tell us that among the mitzvahs that were given in Morah were Para Aduma. Shabbos was given in Morah, Kibbur Avayim was given in Morah. We say in the Aseres Hadibros, Kashrut Sivcha. Kashrut Sivcha means beforehand. Where was that in Morah? Kibbur Avayim, Shabbos. And Rashi mentions Para Aduma as well, which the Medrash says that the Para Aduma was already taught there. Now that was before the Chet HaEgel. So at that time, there was no Havamina that there was going to be a Chet HaEgel. And according to that, the Para Aduma obviously is not necessarily related to the Chet HaEgel, otherwise why was it given at that time? Para Aduma, therefore, is a mitzvah by itself. Yes, it does rectify Chet HaEgel. Yes, it does bring out Tahara for Tumas Meis, and that's obviously the purpose of it, really, that we see over here. What's it used for? It's used to sprinkle upon a mace. It's used to sprinkle upon someone who came in contact with a mace, even in the same room with a mace, Tumas Oihel. That's the only way, in fact, that one who came in contact with Tumas Meis is purified. Yet from that Rashi, from that Chazal, we see that Para Aduma is a mitzvah by itself, which seems to have nothing to do with Tumas Meis. There's also another Chazal, it's a Gemara in Chulin, it's a Gemara in Saita Daf Yud Zayin, the Gemara says that Avraham Avinu, when he said, V'anoichi ofer v'efer, was mezakeh for his children two mitzvahs, Afar Saita and Efer Para. And that means that when Avraham Avinu said V'anoichi ofer v'efer, when he was being mispalo for the Anshei Sedayim, as a result of Avraham Avinu using those words, I am dust and ashes, we were zeicha later on to the mitzvah of Para Aduma. Now again, that's way before Chet HaEgel. And if Para Aduma really is only to take care of Tumas Meis, so what kind of schus is that? Now this is a mitzvah that is a schus for Avraham Avinu's saying V'anoichi ofer v'efer. So obvious from here, Para Aduma is a mitzvah by itself. It's the only mitzvah that no one understands what it's all about. Zois Chukas HaTorah. As Mepharshim asks, it should have said Zois Chukas HaParah. Why does it say Zois Chukas HaTorah? This is the Chayk of the Torah. This is one mitzvah of the Torah. This is as if this is the whole Torah. And Rashi tells us that this mitzvah, the Goyim, the Satan, have a problem with. They have a problem dealing with this mitzvah. Doesn't make any sense. And we know what the Mepharshim tell us. Chazal say that Kol HaOiskin, whoever's Oisik with the Parah Aduma from beginning to end, is metame begodim. Yet the Para Aduma serves as tahara, but those who are involved in the Para Aduma, those who burn it, those who gather the ashes, those who sprinkle, will become tame. This doesn't make any sense. It's a mitzvah that is contradictory. On the one hand, it brings out purity. On the one hand, it brings contamination. And so, as Chazal tells, Shlomo HaMelech writes in Koheles, Omarti echkom avihirachayikum imeni. I thought I was smart till I came to the mitzvah Para Aduma. and I see I don't know anything. Shlaima HaMelech understood the reason for every single mitzvah of the Torah, except for Parah Adumah. Obviously, this is an extremely high mitzvah, so high, so lofty, so great, that the reason of it was hidden even from Shlaima HaMelech. You cannot figure it out logically, because this is a mitzvah that is beyond, it defies logic. And even though Shlaima HaMelech was the smartest, what difference does it make? This has nothing to do with Chochmah. This is higher than Chochmah. Chochmah is referred to in the Sfarim as Av, Abba, Abba ve'ima, Chochmah ubina. This is higher than Av, this is higher than Chochmah, it's Avi Avois. That's why the Parah Adumah has the power to purify Tumas Meis, which is referred to in Chazal. Rashi brings it here in the Rashi as Avi Avois HaTumah. Because Parah Adumah itself is the Avi Avois of mitzvahs. It's higher than all mitzvahs that are rooted in some form of Chochmah, which is Abba. Parah Adumah is higher than that. Parah Adumah is not logical. So it is a total emunah. Parah Adumah is the Shar Hanun, which the Shar Hanun is the highest level that one could reach only after going through the Memtes Sha'orim. And Chazal tell us, V'yikhu Eilecha Parah Adumah. What does Eilecha mean? V'oilam hinekreis al shimcha. This is the cow, the heifer that is called by your name. This is the Parah that Moshe made in the Midbar. And Chazal tell us that Moshe was the only one who knew the reason for Parah Adumah. Moshe did know the reason. How is Moshe able to understand it? Shlaima HaMelech is smarter than Moshe Rabbeinu. But obviously, as it says, Vayechkam Yikol Ha'adam, even from Moshe Rabbeinu. But this is a mitzvah that is not connected to wisdom. It has nothing to do with logic. When did Moshe understand the reason for Parah Adumah? And why is this mitzvah a mitzvah that we cannot understand? The parasha begins with Parah Adumah, and the parasha ends... The parasha ends with the topic of the conquering of Sihon and Og. Sihon and Og were the two giants that were hired by the nations surrounding Eretz Yisrael to protect them from the Jews entering Eretz Yisrael. They were hired. They were giants, as many midrashim tell us. They were descendants of the malachim that were sent down from Shemayim. And when Sihon and Og were conquered, this prepared the entrance into Eretz Yisrael. This enabled Klal Yisrael to be able to go into Eretz Yisrael. They don't have to worry now about any obstacles in the path, because Sihon and Og were wiped out, their armies were wiped out, they were killed. Now it's easy to get into Eretz Yisrael. We also know that Sihon and Og had taken over the lands of Ammon and Moab, which Ammon and Moab were the lands that we were not allowed to conquer. You cannot conquer Ammon and Moab until Mashiach comes. So, Ammon and Moab, tiharu b'Sichon. What Hashem did was Sichon conquers these countries, Ammon and Moab. And then after we couldn't get it from Ammon and Moab, but in a roundabout way, we get it from Sichon, and now they're ours. So the parasha ends off how Moshe Rabbeinu, together with Klal Yisrael, are conquering the land, getting the land ready to be conquered, preparing Eretz Yisrael for conquest, even though Moshe Rabbeinu was not going into Eretz Yisrael, as we read in this week's parasha, where it's finalized. Because of the Chet Mei Meriva, Lachein Lo Yisaviyu Es Ha'am Hazeh, you will not be bringing these people into the land. But yet Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who prepares them, because he helps them with the first conquest, the conquest of Sichon and Og, preparing them to enter Eretz Yisrael. And more than that, Ammon and Moab are going to be ours in the future. Ammon and Moab will be ours in the time of Mashiach. So what's happening in the parasha, at the end of the parasha, is that we're getting ready, we're taking over a part of land, because this was given later to Reuven, Gad, and Chatzi Shevet Menashe. This is given to Reuven, Gad, and Chatzi Shevet Menashe, which is the portion of land that's going to be ours in the future, Eretz Yisrael de la'osid lovoy. So the parasha ends off with a topic that is futuristic, a topic that is very uplifting, a topic that reminds us that there's going to be a future, and we're going to be conquering the land of Ammon and Moab, which right now we can't because of the fact that we're in Golos, and there are the constraints of Golos that do not allow us to go into those portions. And the same thing we see with Edom in this week's parasha. Moshe Rabbeinu sends agents to Edom to ask permission to be able to enter into the land of Edom so that we can go straight into Eretz Yisrael and not have to go in a roundabout way. And the answer wasn't the negative. And Moshe Rabbeinu agrees, and Moshe Rabbeinu says to Klal Yisrael, so we'll have to go around. Meaning that it's not the time yet. We're not ready to go into Edom. That means Edom is ruling. We are under the rule of Edom. We are under the rule of Esav, who calls himself Edom. This we read in the month of Tammuz, which is the month of Oidem, the month of Reuven, who had the red stone on the Choshem. Reuven was compared to Esav when his name was given. His mother said, Reuma ben Benila ben Chami. Reuven is the Edom of Kedusha, as we mentioned last week, the Oidem of Kedusha, as opposed to Esav, which is the Oidem of the Leumasa. The Para Aduma had to be red. You would think that since it purifies, it should be white. One of the chukim of the Para Aduma, that it was red. But the Para Aduma is rooted in such a high place. The Para Aduma is rooted in the Rishis of the Bria, all the way back to the beginning of time, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and he created the world originally to exist according to the dictates of Midas Adin, which Midas Adin is the color red. And when it's used properly, as the Svarim said, the only way to be Mamtik Dinim, the only way to sweeten the Midas Adin is with Midas Adin itself. As the Gemara says, actually, it's based on a Gemara, who's going to be the one that in his Zechus Mashiach is going to come? Yitzchak. And Yitzchak from the three Avos is the one who's Gvura, he's Midas Adin. The Gemara tells us that when Hashem is about to bring the Geula, he's going to ask Avraham, what should I do? Your children have sinned. And Avraham is going to say, Yimachu al Kedushas Shemecha. Says the Gemara in Shabbos, not Peites. So, let them go. They don't deserve it, they don't deserve it. And Hashem says, you're old. We'll try the youngest. We'll try Yaakov Avinu. Maybe he'll have more compassion. And Yaakov's response is the same. It's Yitzchak who's Malamed Zchus on Klal Yisrael Osud Lavoi. Yitzchak makes a whole calculation. Come on, a person lives 70, 80 years. How many years do they spend sinning already? Most of the time they're sleeping or eating and drinking. 2.5 years out of the whole 70 years of a person's life, is it possible for a person to sin? So for that, they don't deserve Geula, as the Gemara discusses there. Yitzchak represents Pachad and Din, is the one that in his Zchus the Geula comes. That's the Midas Hadin of Kedusha. The Midas Hadin of Kedusha, which is the way the world was supposed to be run, and the way it's going to be run in the future, is represented by the color red, by the Para Aduma, which although the color red is the color of Din, that precisely is what purifies. The Para Aduma has the power to go out, Chutz Lamachana, and be Metaher, the highest form of Tumah, the highest form of contamination, the Avi Avos HaTumah, which is Tumas Meis, physically, a mess, is cut off from, he's cut off, he's dead, or even the spiritual Meis, Rishoyim B'chayim Kuruyim Meisim, that during their lifetime they are called Meis, the Para Aduma has the power to purify that. So the Parsha begins talking about a very, very lofty topic, Para Aduma, which no one understands the reason for. It is beyond logic. It defies logic. And it ends with the conquering of Eretz Yisrael, Sichon and Oig, which originally was Amon and Moav, which corresponds, incidentally, to Chochmah and Bina, as the Svarim tell us. Amon, Moav, and Edom, those are the three countries that correspond to the three powers of the intellect. The seven countries, the seven lands that were given to us already, the seven nations, those are the seven emotions that was given to us already in this world. But we're waiting for now is Amon, Moav, and Edom, Keni, Knizi, Kadmoini, which is Chochmah, Bina, Das, Keser Chochmah Bina, which at the end of the Parsha, we're getting a taste of it already, because Klal Yisrael are entering those portions of land which were prohibited to them in this world in a roundabout way through Amun and Moav Tihar B'Sichon, and they're receiving it already as they're getting ready to go into Eretz Yisrael for the first time. But most of this Parsha is a very sad Parsha. The Parsha talks to us about the death of Miriam, the cessation of the well, and because of that, there's no more water. The Chetamei Meriva takes place. And we find out that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to remain in the desert. Moshe Rabbeinu has to pass away. Moshe Rabbeinu is not going to take Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, as we read right afterwards, they are not allowed to go into the land of Edom. Edom rules. Aaron passes away. We lose the clouds. The Anani HaKovid are taken away. That's why Vayishma HaKanani Melech HaRod. Klal Yisrael complain again in this parasha, and they're confronted by the Nechoshim HaSerafim. A very difficult parasha, very appropriate for Tammuz, which is the month in which we lost so many great things. We lost the Luchos HaRishonos. We lost the Karban Tamid. That which was supposed to last forever, as we mentioned previously, all that which was supposed to last eternally was taken away from us in Tammuz. The Karban Tamid, the Luchos, the destruction of the wall around Yerushalayim, which the Gemara calls the city of eternity. Yerushalayim is the city of Netzach. V'ha-Netzach zu Yerushalayim. The Parsha is surrounded by Parah Aduma. At the end, Sichon and Oig. And in the middle, we have all these sad events. The passing of Miriam, the passing of Aaron, and we find out that Moshe Rabbeinu was also going to be leaving us. In this parasha, we are losing the Be'er Shel Miriam, at least it's temporarily, but we're losing the Be'er Shel Miriam. We're losing the Anani HaKavod, which many say that was from then on, they didn't have it anymore. And the fact that we know that Moshe Rabbeinu was going to leave this world means there's not going to be no more Mon either. Moshe Rabbeinu, who is the Midah of Emes, Moshe Emes with Tairosai Emes, which Emes cannot change. Moshe, who is compared to the Netzach, Moshe is the fourth sphere. Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov is Chesed Gevura Teferis, and Moshe is Netzach, which Netzach means eternity. So Moshe Rabbeinu should not die. Moshe Rabbeinu has nothing to do with the Chet HaEgel. Moshe Rabbeinu was not here at all. In fact, that's one of the reasons that he could know the reason for Parah Aduma, because he wasn't involved in the Chet HaEgel. Yet in this parasha we find out that even Moshe Rabbeinu is not here forever. He's not here to stay forever. This is a parasha that which was supposed to be around, and we hope that it will be around for us all the time, we find that it's not going to be that way. That happened in Tammuz. In Tammuz, as a result of Chet HaEgel and Shviras Haluchos, we lose all that we thought and hoped would be with us forever, especially the carbon Tamid, which Tamid means always. But was it supposed to be that way? And perhaps, and this, with this we could understand the connection to Parshas Purim and the Chodesh Adar, and the reason why the combination of Hashem's name of Tammuz is a Megillas Esther, is because that tells us where Tammuz is really rooted. Tammuz is rooted where Parah Aduma is rooted. And that's why we read about the Parah Aduma now. Moshe Rabbeinu understood the reason for Parah Aduma the last day of his life. The last day of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, on Zion Ador, that's the day that he reached the level of Ador Layoda. That's the day that Moshe Rabbeinu enters into the world of the Shar HaNun. That's why he went on the mountain called Nevoi, Nunboi, Har Nevoi. Shar HaNun, that's the Shar that defies logic. That's the world that's higher than Chochmah. That's where Parah Aduma is rooted, and that's where Purim is rooted. That which is the Yom Tov of Ador Layoda. And that's the day that Haman thought. That's where the whole Purim starts, Zayin Adar. The day that Haman thought that he will be able to be victorious over the Jewish people, because on this day, they lost Moshe Rabbeinu. And on this day, we know it also caused tremendous shikha. They forgot many halachas. 3,000 or 300 halachas were forgotten on the day that Moshe Rabbeinu was Nifter. So Haman thought that Adar is a great month to wipe out the Jews, not realizing that on the contrary, on Zayin Adar, Moshe Rabbeinu reached the level of Nun, which is the level of Chamishim. That was the Eitz Gevoya Chamishim Amma that Haman wanted to hang Mordechai on. He wanted to bring Klal Yisrael down with him into the Shar HaNun of Tuma, which is Kfira, Apikursus, philosophy, immorality, whatever the Shar HaNun of Tuma symbolizes. But Zayin Adar was the day when Moshe Rabbeinu, and being Moshe Rabbeinu, the leader of Klal Yisrael, he brought the entire Klal Yisrael with him to that level somewhat. Moshe Rabbeinu reaches the level of Ad Layoda. V'Layoda Ishes Kivurasa, it says, Ad Hayayim Hazeh, on that day that Moshe Rabbeinu was Nifter. It was on that day that Moshe Rabbeinu taught V'Anoichi Haster Aster Panai Bayayim Hahu, which the Gemara says, Esther Menator Menayim, Shanema V'Anoichi Haster Aster Panai Bayayim Hahu. And in fact, the last words that Moshe Rabbeinu says that are recorded in Chumash, right before he goes up to Nevoi, to Har Nevoi, Aviata Al Bamoisei Moisidroich, he will step on the necks of your enemies, which the Gemara says refers to Mordechai kicking Haman as he walks over Haman onto the horse. So on the last day of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, when Moshe Rabbeinu reaches the highest level humanly possible to attain, the Shar HaNun, which defies logic, where a person goes into a world that's higher than Chachma, that's when Moshe Rabbeinu is Masig the Parah Aduma. Moshe Rabbeinu now knows what Parah Aduma is all about. On that day, Moshe Rabbeinu rectifies Reuven. Reuven was sort of in limbo for many, many years. Reuven does not receive a bracha from Yaakov Avinu. Reuven is told, Pachas Kamayim Al Toysar, Ki Olisa Mishkevei Avicha, Oz Chilalti Yitzui Ola. Whatever you were supposed to get, you were supposed to become the Kohen, the Melech, you're not going to receive as a result of your impulsive behavior, as a result of the Pachas Kamayim. As we mentioned in previous weeks, so what happens to Reuven? It sounds almost like as if Reuven is sent out of Klal Yisrael. He's not part of the Shvatim. That's what the Torah has to say over and over again. Reuven Bechor Yisrael. The Torah has to tell us that we shouldn't think that perhaps Chas V'Shalom Reuven is not part of the Shvatim. But the fact that we have to say such a thing means that there's such a Havamina. Because Yaakov doesn't give Reuven the bracha that he gives the rest of the Shvatim. Not until Moshe Rabbeinu comes. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Yechi Reuven V'Al Yomais. What kind of bracha is that? No one lives forever. Yechi Reuven V'Olam Hazeh. V'Al Yomais, says Rashi, V'Olam Haba. Reuven is just as connected as the rest of the Shvatim. Reuven is now being incorporated into the Shiftei Kah. Yechi Reuven V'Al Yomais. Why is he given such a bracha, which is the bracha of eternity, that he will live and not die? That's the bracha of Nitzchius. Because Reuven is the month of Tammuz. Tammuz fell as a result of Chet HaEgel. And in Tammuz, Misa came about. Tammuz is the Oisiyah Zum Meis. As a result of Chet HaEgel, which takes place in the month of Tammuz, that which was supposed to be forever is no longer. And we have to wait for Yemais HaMashiach and Olam Haba to enter into the world of Nitzchias. We have to wait for Yemais HaMashiach and Olam Haba to understand what Parah Adumah is all about. Moshe was masig the Parah Adumah on Zayin Adar. When were we supposed to be masig the Parah Adumah? On Shavasa B'Tamas. Shavasa B'Tamas, that means in the month of Tamas, we were supposed to be on the level that we are on Purim. That's why this is, might sound outlandish, but the emes is, the fact that the Arizal tells us that the combination of Hashem's names, as we mentioned before, is Megillas Esther, the combination of Hashem's name for Tamas, Ze'enenu Shoveli, which is back, Sefer Tevis, Yudkei Vavkei backwards, that's the combination of Hashem's name for Tammuz. That tells us that that's where Tammuz is rooted. The month is rooted where the combination of Hashem's name is, as the Sforim tell us. And the fact that the combination of Hashem's name for the month of Tammuz is in Megillas Esther means that Tammuz has in it the Bechina of Purim. Tammuz was supposed to be the month of Nitzchius. The only Yontif that is Nitzchi is Purim. Even after Mashiach comes. Otherwise, call Mayadim B'Telem, tell us the Chazal. All the Amim Toivim will be gone when Mashiach will come. There are different explanations to that. Not that we won't keep to the mitzvahs, of course, but the Mayad, the feeling, the aura of the Yomtif is not going to be felt when Mashiach will come, when it's Yom Shakul, Shabbos, Amunuch, Lachai, Ha'ilam. Anyway, every day will be like Yomtif, except for Purim. The Rashba writes in a Truva, it's a famous Truva from the Rashba, that Purim is the only Yom Tov that the Goyim never started up with. They never try to take it away from us. All the other Yom Tovim, they were Gzeiris, the Jews shouldn't keep Shabbos, they shouldn't keep this, they shouldn't keep Pesach. Never did they start up with Purim, and he says they never will. Purim is Nitzchi, it's forever, it's eternal. Purim is the Yom Tov that is associated with Yerushalayim. We know, we have Shushan Purim, and the whole reason why we say that cities that are Mukav Chaim, Yeshua Benum, read the Megillah on the 15th, is to give cover to Yerushalayim. The only time that it says Yerushalayim with a Yud Mole, four times, but one of the only times, is in Megillah Esther, Ashahoglam Yerushalayim. Purim, therefore, is associated with Nitzchias, with Netzach. Netzach is Purim. Hoyd is Hanukkah, and Netzach is Purim. Which, in the month of Tammuz, that's what fell. In the month of Tammuz, this concept of Netzach is what fell. Because Tammuz is really the fourth month, which the fourth month is the month of Netzach, the fourth sphere. In Tammuz, we were supposed to receive the first Luchais, which the first Luchais were going to be given to us on Shiva Osir B'Tammuz. We would have been Masig Para Aduma at that time. The entire Klal Yisrael would have entered that level of Adal Yoda, and it would have been Purim every day. Not necessarily would have been walking around with masks every day or drinking wine, but the idea is that hasaga, that level that we reach on Purim of Adal Yoda, higher than logic, which is what the Parah Adumah is about, Zois Chukas HaTorah, the mitzvah that makes absolutely no sense at all. Even Shlomo HaMelech doesn't understand it, because it's so high and it is rooted in the highest levels. We would have been masik on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, and therefore reading Parah Adumah now, and we read it the Shabbos after Purim, is not a contradiction. Because of Chet HaEgel, and Chet HaEgel we always read in Parshas Kisisa at the same time as Purim, and Parah Adumah we always read in Tammuz, which is the month of the Egel. Because of the Chet HaEgel, we only have a Purim once a year. If not for Chet HaEgel, and if we would have received those first Luchas on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, it would always be Purim. the way it's going to be in Olam Haba, which is Ayin Leirasa Elikim Zula Secha, something which no one understands. Olam Haba, no one understands. What Olam Haba is, the Gemara says, we don't even know. Even the greatest Navi doesn't know. Just like Parah Aduma, no one knows the reason for it. Kol HaNaviyim Loinit Snabu'u Eli Yemais HaMashiach. All the prophecies in the entire Tanakh are only about Yemais HaMashiach. Olam Haba, the Gemara says, Ayin Leirasa Elikim Zula Secha. No one ever saw it. No Navi even knows what it is. That's Purim. That's Parah Aduma. It's L'mailam and Ha'asaga. And that's where we would have been, just to think how high we would have been, we would have waited one more day. That's what that would have happened in Shavasa B'Tamas. And the fact that it was supposed to happen in Shavasa B'Tamas means that that's what Tamas is really all about. That's Reuven. And that's what Reuven would have had he not moved the bed, had he not been involved in the Pchizus, in the impulsive behavior of the Pachas Kamayim, which causes him to lose that. And Moshe Rabbeinu's bracha to him, which Moshe Rabbeinu says it after he's masik the Parah Aduma, which the Parah Aduma has the power to purify even the Avi Avos HaTuma, and even those who are Michutz LaMachana, Moshe Rabbeinu, who has reached the highest level humanly possible on that day, and he's masik the Parah Aduma, brings those who are Chutz in. He takes Reuven, who was on the outs all these years, after Yaakov seemingly does not bench him, and he incorporates him into the Shvatim, and the bracha that he gives them is given to no other Shevet. Yechi Reuven va'al yomois, eternity. Meaning, Tamas should be restored to what it was supposed to be. It's interesting, brought down in the Geras for in the Sfasemas, the Imre Yemes discussed this, that Purim is rooted in the first Luchais, not the second, in the first Luchais. It's based on the Gemara. The Gemara in Megillah Yudches brings down the Pasuk in Parshas Vayeschanan, where the Pasuk there describes the first Luchais and everything that was written on the first Luchais, and the Gemara says, what and what's there? Everything, even Mikra Megillah. So he derives from that Gemara that Mikra Megillah is rooted in the Luchais HaRishonos. Even though the Luchais HaRishonos were broken. But on Purim, we were able to reach the level that we would have been on Shavasa B'Tamas had we received those first Luchais. So the first Luchais in actuality was supposed to be given to us on Shavasa B'Tamas, the day that we would have entered into the world of Nitzchias, into the world of Chaim Nitzchian. Instead, we lost the first Luchais. Purim, we were brought back to the level of the Luchais HaRishonos once a year. Therefore, as we enter the month of Tammuz, we learn about the greatest mitzvah of all the mitzvahs in the Torah. Even though it says you're not supposed to measure mitzvahs, Al Tehi Shoykel, and Hebei Zoy, the mitzvah Kalaka V'Chamura, and no one knows, of course, the schar of any mitzvah, but certainly, the only mitzvah that the Pasuk itself tells us, and the Chazal elaborate on, defies logic completely, is Parah Aduma. And the fact that it defies logic doesn't tell us that it's illogical in a negative way, it tells us how high it is. That this mitzvah is rooted in the highest levels. And that's why the highest neshama is the neshama that can be masik the Parah Aduma. Only a neshama that is totally bottled to Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu, the Ha'ish Moshe Onav Me'oid Mikol Adam Asher Al Pnei Ha'Adama, who said, V'nachnu Ma, who he himself serves Hashem on a level that is higher than Chachma, that is higher than logic, total emuna, which emuna means higher than logic, only he can be masik the Parah Aduma. Avraham Avinu also, Avraham Avinu says, V'anoichi Ofer V'efer, Avraham Avinu was totally, submits himself to Hashem, he's an Onav on the highest level of his time, not as great as Moshe Rabbeinu. The Gemara says, Moshe was a greater Onav. But Avraham says, V'anoichi Ofer V'efer, and that's Chus, he is Zoichel, the bond of Achrav, to the mitzvah of Parah Aduma. That's why we call it the Efer of Parah Aduma. The Efer, the ashes, the Efer Chatos, Efer ashes, reminds us that a person has to remember that he's Efer. A person has to be Mevatel himself. That's what Rashi tells us later, that part of the procedure of the Parah Aduma was to bring with it the Ezoiv, together with the Eitz Erez, the branch of the cedar tree, together with the Hyssop, right. The Rashi tells us over here, Erez hu ha-gavoya mikol lo-hilonois. The Erez is the highest of all the trees. Ve-Ezoiv namach mikulam, it's the lowest. Simon, she-ha-gavoya, she-nizgoya, the one who has become haughty, the chota, and he sinned, yashvel esatzmai ke-Ezoiv v'toilas. The question is, who sinned over here? A person happened to be in the room with a dead body. He went to a levaya, he did an aveir, if anything, he did a mitzvah. So he came in contact with a mace. Perhaps it's a mace mitzvah, which is one of the greatest mitzvahs. So he has to be sprinkled upon from the ashes of the Parah Adum. What's the chet over here? What, by Mitzoyra it says, as we can understand, Mitzoyra is because of Lashon Hara. What does Parah Adum have to do with chet? But the Parah Adum, again, is a result of chet ha-egel. The Parah Aduma is purifying for the Chet HaEgel, which is the root of all Chatoyim. And every Chet is a form of Gaiva, because a person who is totally humble, a person who is totally bottled to Hashem, he submits himself to Hashem totally, to the Ratzon HaElyon, doesn't sin, doesn't deviate from what the Torah tells us to do. So the Parah Aduma, which is the Tikkun for the Chet HaEgel, the method and the procedure that goes with it, is the Erez and the Ezoiv, is the Indian of being mashpul oneself, humble oneself. And that's why the one who was the most humble in this world, which is Moshe Rabbeinu, who never sins as a result of that. Even the Chet in our parish is also defies logic. No one understands. That's why there's so many Mefarshim and reasons. What was the Chet Mei Meriva? What do we really want from Moshe Rabbeinu? He talked at a wrong rack, so, and that's why he thought that maybe Hashem meant that he should hit the rack. And that Hashem himself said, Kach es hamata. So if he's not supposed to hit the rock, why was he being told to bring a stick? Especially last time in Parshas B'Shalach, he says he kisa batzur, he was supposed to hit it. So if you think about it, what does Hashem want with Moshe Rabbeinu? The Gemara says it's just an excuse. It was an excuse so that Hashem could leave Moshe Rabbeinu in the desert, because Klal Yisrael doesn't deserve to go into Eretz Yisrael with Moshe Rabbeinu. And had they had him, had he gone with them, he would have built the Beis Hamikdash, and it would have been an eternal Beis Hamikdash, which would never have been destroyed. So it was to our benefit that Moshe Rabbeinu remains in the desert. So it was just, it was Noir Alila al Bnei Adam, as the Medrash tells us. It was sort of one of those chatoyim, which there's no Bechira for. Because if you think about it, there's really no chet. I mean, there are different opinions what the chet was. Some say Moshe Rabbeinu said, Shimuna Hamayrim. Other opinions. But the fact that there's so much Mefarshim to try to explain this chet is because it's a very unclear chet. The Chet Mei Meriva is like the Parah Aduma. That's why they go one after the other. The Parah Aduma doesn't make any sense, neither does the Chet Mei Meriva. Therefore, the Parah Aduma, which is rooted in the highest roots, higher than Chachma, the Avi Avos of Kedusha, has the power to affect the Avi Avos HaTuma. The Parah Aduma is the mitzvah of the Asid Lavoi. The Parah Aduma reminds us of Mashiach. The minute we hear Parah Aduma, we're thinking about Mashiach already, because we know that's what's necessary in order for us to be able to go in the Beis HaMikdash again. In order for us to be able to makriv karbonos, we need the Parah Aduma. The Parah Aduma, the first one was made by Moshe Rabbeinu. The last one was made by Mashiach himself. The Rambam in Hilchos Parah Aduma uses the words, the Parah HaAsiris Ya'asa Melech HaMashiach Me'eiro Yigola. That's what the Rambam says. That Melech HaMashiach will bring us the Parah Aduma. I don't know if he'll actually make it. He's not a Kohen, but he'll supervise it. This, the Parah Aduma in our parasha, Moshe Rabbeinu, have really nothing to do with either. He just supervised and made sure that it was done properly. It was Elazar and Kohanim who took care of it. But it's called the Parah Sha'asa Moshe Bamidbar, and every other Parah Aduma have to have in it ashes mixed with the Parah Aduma of Moshe Rabbeinu. But the last, the final Parah Aduma, the tenth, is the one that Mashiach is going to bring with him and purify the entire Klal Yisrael and enable us to go into the Beis HaMikdash and bring Karbonis again. And as the Zayar says, Moshe hu goyel rishon hu goyel achron. Moshe is the neshama of Mashiach. Mashiach hayu hu sheyihyeh. Moshe stands for Mashiach hayu hu sheyihyeh. What he was is what he's going to be. Goyel rishon hu goyel achron. So the first part of Aduma really is connected to the last part of Aduma. The part of Aduma in this parasha is the part of Mashiach. And when we hear part of Aduma, automatically we think Geula, we think Beis HaMikdash, we think Karbon, we think the time of the future. And when Mashiach comes, then we're going to understand the reason for the Parah Aduma, because then the Chet HaEgel will be rectified. Today, the purpose of the Parah Aduma, in the time before Mashiach comes, was to teach us to have bittul, to teach us not to question Hashem, not to make cheshbonos. That was the Chet HaEgel, when they said, Lo Yadanu, we don't know what happened to him. Who says you have to know? The Parah Aduma is a mitzvah that defies logic. It's Adelo Yoda. Not everything do you have to know. If I care, on the contrary, the purpose is that a Jew realizes that he doesn't know. As the Sfarim say, Tachlis Hayadia Shaloi Neida. The highest form of knowledge is when one is able to admit that he does not know. Im Loi Sei Diloch Hayofa Banoshim. Which is the level of Adelo Yoda that Moshe Rabbeinu reaches on Zion Adler. And with this we can understand, therefore, the connection between the fact that we read Parshas Parah now and Parshas Parah, the Shabbos right after Purim. Tammuz is a month that is destined for greatness. It was supposed to be, and it's going to be. And this is the month in which we're going to reach that level of Adelei Yoda. That's why it's rooted in Megillas Esther. This is the month of Reuven, who will have the Bechira reinstated. Yechi Reuven va'al yomois. Klal Yisrael is here forever. Am Yisrael chai. Yechi Reuven va'al yomois. There will never be Misa. There will never be an interruption and a cessation. Any interruption that we see now is only temporary. And soon we're going to enter into that world of Nitzchias. May we enter into that world immediately and be zoicha to the Parah Aduma, the 10th. Sheyasa Melech HaMashiach Meheri Yigola, as the Rambam writes, they will continue to see the conquest of Eretz Yisrael, not Chas V'Shalom giving away land. On the contrary, we will see soon the conquest of Ammon, Moab, and Edom, parts of Jordan, not the whole thing, in Syria, till Damascus, and Iraq. Even in Iraq, they say part of it is really Eretz Yisrael, till the Euphrates River, Ad Hanor, Haravi, Nahar, Peros, Yihya, Gevulchem. And we should see the entire Eretz Yisrael Hashlema, Yerushalayim Hashlema. And hopefully this year, Shavuos B'Tammuz will be a day that will be a Hafech, L'Sasein, L'Sumcha, L'Mayadim Toivim, a day that we will rejoice with wine, as we do on Purim, and drink Adelo Yoda, and may we be zeichet to that this year, Mitzvah.